Well, let me say a word about the offering. Make sure if you send your offering, you send it to me as the pastor. Oh, no, you send any money you give to Fellowship Baptist Church, you make sure that money goes to Fellowship Baptist Church. And if you're sending it to a specific fund, we have funds where we have youth funds, we have missions, our bus ministry, we have a nursery project going on. We just want to make sure that all those funds are allocated properly. And we thank God for God meeting the needs of His work. And I've always believed that. I believed it from the day God saved me, certainly since God put me in the pastorate some 36 years ago, and I still believe it today. And so I'm so thankful that God meets the needs of His work. God's work done in God's way will never lack God's financing, and I just believe that. Psalm 25. Psalm 25 for the preaching of the Word of God. And I have been blessed in studying the Psalms. I had read many years ago, I was sharing in a devotional this morning that I had with my nephew, Scott Freeman. He lives with us. And Scott and I, we've been having devotions in the morning. And this morning in our devotion, I was sharing with him from the book of Proverbs something that I heard years ago. For wisdom, go to Proverbs. For worship, go to the Psalms. And I just have found that to be so. When I need to know what God's wisdom is, or what God says about a matter, or what God even says about wisdom, I oftentimes turn to the book of Proverbs. When I need to get in a worshipful state, when I need God to help me in my worship, and I do need God to help me in my worship, I believe all God's people do, I turn to the book of Psalms. These are songs of worship. As the children of Israel would travel, and as different ones would go through different life experiences, these songs would be written. And I'm going to do you a great favor tonight. And you didn't know the preacher was going to do you a favor when you tuned in, did you? I'm going to do you a great favor. I'm not going to sing this psalm to you. And so, and those of you who've never heard me sing, you just don't know how great of a favor that is. But those of you who have, well, you have some idea. Psalm 25, I want to read some scripture out of this psalm. I'll read just maybe the first 14 verses to you, and then I want to give you some truths about this psalm. I want to talk to you, and I don't know that I'll do a lot of preaching. I'm going to just do some teaching. It'll probably turn into a little preaching. But I just want to have like a, you're sitting probably in your living room, maybe around your dining room table. I hope you've got your family together. It's really important that we worship as a family. One of the things that, and I'm not going to get off on this, but one of the things that really discourages me that I've seen in, the last several years is how that when families come to church, they just kind of spread out all over. And I just remember the day when people sit together and worshiped as a family, and I just think that the focus was so much better. I think that the behavior was so much better, and I just believe the worship was so much better. And so in these days when you're there, you don't have your friends with you, but you have your family. It's amazing how God shows us what's essential, isn't it, in every area of life during times like these. Get with your family. Pull your children together. Don't have some of them in this room and some of them in that room. Pull your family together. Open up the Word and worship together as a family. Your Bible is open to Psalm 25. I hope you have something to write on and something to write with, as I'll give you some truths I hope will be a help to you on how to experience God's guidance. How to let God lead you. We call that following God's will, walking in the Spirit. There's many biblical terms that we could use. I just want to talk to you about the importance of letting God guide you. I hear people all the time make statements, well, God led me to do thus and thus, and it's just absolutely contrary to God's Word, and I know there's no way God led an individual to do that. And I've done it myself. And so I'm certainly not throwing stones. I'm not kicking anyone under the bus. But I want to look at the Scripture, at least one passage of Scripture, this time in the life of David, where David was needing God's guidance. And he approached God, and I think the way he approached him, the things that he asked him, it tells us some things about how to get God's guidance. And I think you realize you need God's guidance in your life. I can tell you right now, I need it in my life. I have, by the grace of God, tried to allow God to guide me throughout my Christian experience. And I want to continue to do that moving forward, and I trust that you'll do the same. Psalm 25, we'll read the first 14 verses. Have a word of prayer, and then I'll give you a few truths, all right? Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as should keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. And Lord, I want to thank you again. Even as I was reading your word, I was reminded by your Holy Spirit that the Bible is the Word of God, not the Word of a man. And help us to receive what we hear and learn from your Word tonight, not as it is the Word of a man, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. Help us, Lord. Open our understanding. God, I can only present the truths, but you can impart them. And I pray that you would through the ministry of your Holy Spirit this evening. Help someone that truly wants your guidance in a matter of their life. It may be a family matter. It may be a financial matter. It may be a future matter, a decision that is to be made. And they really want to know what your mind is on the matter. I pray, oh God, that you would help that person tonight or those people that really desire to know the way, the will of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I'm going to, before I get started, I want to read you just a few verses of Scripture that I pinned down about God guiding us in our life. Now, I know there's some people that would mock at that. I don't think there's anybody that's tuned in that would mock at that, but we know there's folks outside the church, outside Christianity that would mock that God would talk to us, that God would show us His way, that God has a purpose and a will for our lives. I'm thankful that I realize all of these things to be so, and that those things don't, listen, they don't affect me one iota. I mean, these folks that mock and scorn and laugh at God, it doesn't affect me. I'm glad that God has settled in my heart long ago that this book right here, the Word of God, is God's Word. Amen. And I believe every word of this book. I believe that God pardons us and gives us a purpose in life. When we get saved, we receive the pardon of the Lord. And then God gives us a purpose, a plan that we carry out in our lives. It's called God's will. And it is something that God would navigate us through life if we will allow Him to. Now, I want to give you a few examples. Genesis 24, in verse number 27, God had sent, or Abraham had sent his servant for Isaac's bride. And when he got down and he found what God wanted, and he was navigated through that. This is what he said in Genesis 24, verse 27. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth, I being in the way. Now listen to this. The Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. The Lord led him. And I hope you'll read that account in the scripture sometime in Genesis 24. What a tremendous showing of God leading a man along the way. And he said, the Lord led me. God led this man. Psalm 48, verse 14. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Psalm 73, 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Isaiah 48, 17. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou should goest. I think most people know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 probably by memory. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. See, God wants to direct your paths. God wants to give you guidance in your life for every situation. Now, as I was thinking about the situation that we're in, I mean, here we are. There's just a handful of us right here in a church that's empty because of this crisis that we're going through here in our country. It's worldwide. There's a lot of things that are happening. And if we're not careful, in crisis situations, we'll begin to make knee-jerk decisions. We'll begin to make haste decisions. We won't seek counsel from the Lord. We won't seek counsel from God's Word. And we'll begin to make decisions that will be detrimental to our Christian faith. Perhaps you've already done that. I don't know. Perhaps you don't even know what it is for God to guide you. Well, I want to help you. And I think that there's some truths here in this psalm that will help you. Let's look at this. Look, if you would, in Psalm 25. Look in verse number 4 and 5. And we'll see where the psalmist does this. He calls on God to give him guidance. Now, here's our first thing that we need to understand. Now, I've already showed you, God will guide you. God will guide us if we will allow him to. Now, here's the call. Here's a man who is calling God to guide him. Notice what he said. Show, in verse number 4, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. Now, that sounds like a man who wants not just anybody. Notice what he said in verse number 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth. He doesn't just want anyone leading him. He doesn't want a friend or a counselor, a guidance counselor, a teacher, a man. He wants God Almighty to guide him, to navigate him through life. He's saying, God, I believe that you will show me which way to take here. I believe you'll show me which way I should go. I believe you'll lay out a path for me to take. God, I believe you'll direct my steps. And I want that. So that's the first thing I want you to write now. You've got to want it. Now, here's a man who's asking for it. You say, well, I'm waiting on God to knock me over the head and force it on me. Well, you'll be waiting a long time because God's not going to do that. God's not going to do that. God wants you to desire his guidance. Amen. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit when we got saved. He's not only our comforter, but he will lead and he will guide us into all truth, and he will navigate us through life. So the first thing that I see when David was writing this psalm is that he's asking for God's guidance. Now, if there's a man that needed God's guidance in his life, surely it was King David. Now, we all do. We all need God's guidance in our life. But you look back over David's life and you see all the things that he was encountering in life. And that's why I believe in this psalm he's saying, God, more than ever, I want you to lead me. Verse number 5, lead me in thy truth. Show me, verse 4, thy paths. God, I want to know your will. I want you to guide me. Now, is that your desire? If it is, well, you're well on the way of God guiding and navigating you through life. All right? All right, so first of all, we said that he wants it. He wants God to navigate. He desires God. He's calling on God. God, I want you to navigate. I want you to lead me. Now, here's the second thing. I want you to notice, not only did he ask God, but look in verse number 5. He said, lead me in thy truth. All right? Lead me in thy truth. And look at this. Teach me. In other words, it's one thing to want God to do it, but it's a whole other thing to be willing to allow God to do it. See, there's a lot of people, and I've done it myself, and that doesn't make it okay. There's a lot of people who will say, you know, I want God to guide me in life, until God begins to guide them and he guides them into some hard places, or he guides them into some areas where you've got to put some work into it. And then they say, oh, wait a minute, I thought this was going to be easy. You know, I thought this was going to be like God just kind of bearing me up and taking me through to where it'd be no work or there'd be no heartache in life. Well, I want to tell you right now, listen, just because God's guiding you, just because we allow God to guide us in life, that doesn't mean that there'll be no hardships in life. That doesn't mean there'll be no work involved. That doesn't mean you don't have to put in the work in order to get what God wants you to get out of life. Amen. And I'm afraid there's a lot of people who think, well, you know, this thing of God guiding you, it didn't turn out the way I thought it was going to turn out. I wanted this and I wanted that. This is not about you guiding you. This is about God guiding you. Amen. So you have to understand that. See, there may be some things when you come to the place where you're willing to allow God to guide you. When I come to the place where I'm willing, not just want it. See, we want a lot of things until we see what God has in store, and then all of a sudden our will to want changes. I think a lot of us want to write down what we want and get God to put a stamp of approval on it, right? Right? You know, God, do this, bless this. You know, God, bless this. No, no. So here's what the psalmist said. Here's what David said. He said, I want you to lead me. But then number 2, he said, I'm willing for you to teach me. I'm willing for you to lead me. I'm willing. I want to be pliable. God, I want your will above my will. Right? You see that? That's what he's saying. Now, you say, well, I want God to guide me when I agree with it, but I don't want God to guide me when I'm not all in on it. Well, that's not going to happen. All right? He's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. And so if you're not willing, and if I'm not willing to allow God to guide our lives, God will step back and allow you and I to go our own way. And there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction and death. And so listen, we need to find out real early in our Christian experience, our way is a failure. Our way didn't work. That's what brought us to the end of ourselves, to when we turned to Christ to trust him. And so number 1, you must be wanting. And I believe there's a lot of people, there may be many that are tuned in right now, and you say, you know, I really want God's will for my life. I have met many people in my pastoral experience who really, truly, sincerely wanted God's leadership, God's guidance, God's will for their life. That's the first step. Number 2, not only wanting, but willing. Are you willing to allow God to guide you now? You have to, listen, unreservedly. You can't just give God some, you've got to give God all. You can't just ask God to guide you through the hard times, but you have to let God guide you through all times. All right? You've got to be willing to put in the work. See, that's the will. That's the will. You have to be willing to put in the work to allow God to guide you. And we're going to get to that in just a moment. Now, here's the third thing on this call, and I want you to notice it in the latter part of verse number 4. All right? He said, on thee do I wait all the day. Now, he mentions that again in verse number 21. He said, let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. So there's a wanting. I want God to guide me. And then there's a willing. But then there's a waiting. And here, I think this is where a lot of people lose it. All right? I think that there's people who they want it. And then there's people who are willing until God says, not now, or wait. See, we make haste, and we have time schedules, and we want God to approve our time schedules, and we want everything to kind of go, not only how we want it to go, but when we want it to go. And so here the psalmist lays down a very important principle about allowing God to guide us. I want to share some scripture with you. Look over just across the page in my Bible. It may not be in yours, but look at Psalm 27. Look at verse 14. Wait on the Lord. There it is. Wait on him. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. And he says it again, wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 37, verse 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. I think we all know Isaiah 40, 31, right? But they that wait on the Lord, right? There's a waiting time. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. There's this principle of waiting. So here it is. You want God to guide you? Here's three important steps. All right? Number one, he said, show me. Show me. I want it. Show me in verse number 4 of Psalm 25. Teach me. Lead me. And then number 2, he said, not only do I want, I'm willing. I'm willing. I'll put in the work. God, I'll die to myself. I'll die to my quote-unquote dreams and my ambitions. I want your will. Just like Jesus prayed in the garden. Not my will, but thy will be done. God, I want you to guide me. I don't want this to be about me any longer. I want it to be about you. You guide me. I'm willing. And then I'll wait. Lord, I'll wait. Because I realize that your timetable is not my timetable. And I realize there's times that I have to receive some things from you before you can take me to the next step and the next level in my life. And so I'm willing to wait. To wait on you, Lord. I'm willing. Are you willing? If you are, you're well on your way of knowing how to get guidance from God. God wants to guide our lives. See, God didn't save us to ourselves so we could do what we wish. God saved us so we could do His bidding and do His will. And in that process, He's going to conform us into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. All right, so there is the call of guidance. Number two, I want you to notice with me the conditions. So now, I'm wanting. I want God to guide me. I'm willing. And I think I can wait. Well, now be careful. Now, you know, God will teach us to wait. God will teach us patience. He will. God will teach us to wait on Him and not jump ahead of Him, not lag behind Him. Just walk with Him, and He'll navigate us through the times of life. But I want you to notice two conditions. They're very important here, all right? The two conditions before God will guide us. Now, that's the call. Let's look at the conditions. Notice, if you would, in verse number 8. He says in verse number 8, he talks about being saved. He says, good and upright is the Lord, therefore He will teach sinners in the way. The last part of verse number 5 says, for Thou art the God of my salvation. See, before there's purpose, and before there's provision and God's guiding, there has to be pardon. And here the psalmist said, Lord, I realize, first of all, I've got to yield myself unto you. I've got to let you control me. See, before you get saved, and we talked a little bit about this Sunday morning, we're rebels, right? We're children of disobedience. All we like sheep have what? Gone astray. Right. We've what? We've gone our own way, right? And so God can't guide me until I bring myself under His authority, until I bring myself into the fold, until I come to Him and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then, see, I've yielded control. I've yielded control unto Him. Now guidance can come. See, guidance can't come until control comes. So He said, first of all, there's salvation. So here's the first condition. Are you saved? I trust you are. If you're not, you can be. That's the good news. You can be saved in the grace of God. God loves you and He wants to save you. And I'll say more about that as we close. But number one, if you're saved, you're a candidate for God's guidance in your life. But now here's the second one. Notice, if you would, in verse number 9. The meek will He guide in judgment. And the meek will He teach His way. So what's He saying? He's saying God will guide you. But now you've got to come in a humble spirit. You can't come, you know, you can't go, you know, just rushing into the presence of God and telling God the way it's going to be. You have to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Now, here's the reason that a lot of people do not receive God's guidance in their life. And so I want to help you right here, okay? There's this thing that we as man, and when I say man, I mean mankind, men and women. There's this thing that we we face in life called pride. And I tell you, this pride will bring you down. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. The main purpose that I believe in my own life and possibly in yours, I don't know what's in your heart, that I have not allowed God to guide me in the times that I did not allow God to guide me was my own pride. I said something like this, I've got this. Terrible words, all right? Terrible words. I've got this. I can take care of this, you know? This is small stuff. I'm not going to sweat this. I'm not going to get this from God. I'm going to take care of this. That's the worst thing you can do in life. The Bible says, in all of thy ways, acknowledge Him. Now, either the Bible means what it says or it doesn't. I believe it does. I know it does. God wants me to submit and yield everything to God, everything to Him. Now, if I'm going to get God's guidance, that's what I'm going to have to do. Look again at verse number 9. Now, we're bringing this to a close. In all, verse number 9, the meek will He guide in judgment. All right? God will guide. This is what David's asking. He's saying, God, I want You to guide me. Show me Your ways. Lead me in verse number 5. Teach me. I want to follow You. And it's as if the Spirit of God said, well, You can. Number one, You need to be My child. You need to belong to Me. And He said, well, You're the God of My salvation. You've met the first condition. Number two, You need to be submissive. All right? The meek, the humble in spirit. Do you have a humble spirit? You say, I do. Well, I don't know. Maybe you don't. You know, right? Yeah. Humble in spirit. What is David saying here? God, I can't do life without You. I don't want to make any decisions without You, Lord. I want You to be a part of every decision that I make in life. Every choice, everything that I do, God, I want to get Your counsel on it. This is hard for us to do as human beings, isn't it? We're just so full of pride. Can I encourage you to allow God to get involved in your decision-making process? And that'll bring us to our third and final point, the confirmation. So we have the call. We have the conditions. You know, the call is you've got to want it. And you've got to be willing to receive it. Not just when you, it's what you want, but it may be absolutely the opposite of what you want. But you still have to be willing to receive God's guidance. And then you have to wait on the Lord. That's the call. Then there's the conditions. Salvation. Salvation. And then there's submission. Humility. Now the confirmation. Look at verse 14. And I'll say a few things about this and we'll be through for tonight. I hope this is helping you. We need God to guide us in our lives. We need God's guidance. Amen. I tell you, there's a lot of folks out here in the name of Christianity doing things that there is no way God's guiding in that. No way. And I'm going to give you a few examples here in just a moment. So stay tuned. You might be in my next segment. Verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. Now here's confirmation. When we do what God says to do, according to His word, He will guide us. He will show us. All right? Now let me give you three quick things here. All right? The scripture says here in verse number 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, reverence Him is what it's saying, and He will show them His covenant. God will show you in His word what He wants you to do. See, that's how God guides you. There's two ways that God guides us. Now, listen, there were ways that God would guide the children of Israel. You know about the cloudy pillar and the pillar of fire, okay? You know about the blowing of the trumpets. There were ways that God would guide the children of Israel. But you know, we're in a new covenant. We're in a covenant now where God guides us through two different ways. It's not the cloudy pillar and it's not the pillar of fire. God leads us through His word. God leads us through the scriptures. And God leads us through His Spirit. Now, I thank God for good godly counsel. And God does use good godly counsel. All right? But that good godly counsel comes from His Word and by His Spirit. Amen. All right? So, number one, write this down. Write this down. God will never guide you or I in a way that would contradict what is revealed in His Word. Let me give you an example. So you've got a young lady who's in love with a young man. She said, I'm going to marry him. But now he's not saved, but I just know that it's God's will. I'm saved, and I'm going to win him. I'm going to win him over when we get married. Can I tell you, it's not God's will for you to marry him.
Right.
It's not. Now, it's God's will for him to be saved, because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself. Oh, I'm in love with my boyfriend, and I just feel that it's just the right thing to do for us to move in together. Can I tell you that that's not the right thing to do? Because God abhors adultery. You say, it just feels right, preacher. It just feels good. Well, you know what? It doesn't matter how it feels. God says that He hateth adultery. Okay? So when God has revealed something in His Word, then you can say it's God's will all you want. You can try to, we can try to put on how happy we are and how spiritual we are, but that doesn't change what God's Word says. God will never, and I want to really emphasize that, the Lord will never, divine guidance will never contradict the revealed Word of God. Never, never. I'm going to quit my job. I believe God's calling me to a season of prayer. I'm just going to devote my life to prayer. Well, in case it put food on the table and takes care of your family, that's not God's will. Because God's will is for you, sir, to take care of your family. If a man doesn't provide for his family, he's worse than an infidel.
Right.
So you see how these things contradict God's word? So there's no way, when I hear somebody saying something, by the way, there's this thing going around, well, you know, the church is not the building. We don't have to have a building. Well, I beg your pardon. While the church is not the building, the church meets in the building. And so you be wary of that. Where are you going to assemble at? Amen. Where are you going to assemble? God wants His people to assemble.
Sure.
That's right. God wants His people to have a preacher. Amen. Of a church.
Right.
God wants His people to have deacons in a church. God wants His people to use their talents in a church. So, see, these things, they sound good, but they're contrary to what the Scripture teaches. And so you be careful about these little Facebook memes and these little quaint sayings that sound good. You better fact check them by the Scripture. All right?
Amen.
So, number one, God will never guide you. God will never guide me into an area or into a way that contradicts the revealed Word of God. Number two, God will never guide me or you. God will never guide us against what is right. Against what is right. In other words, if God says don't steal, you say, well, I'm going to do the Robin Hood thing. You know, I'm going to take from the rich and give to the poor, and God's going to bless it. No, He's not.
Right.
No, that's like a white lie. I'm going to tell this little white lie, and it's going to get a bunch of people out of trouble. God never blesses wrong.
Amen.
Never. It's never right to do wrong. I hope I can hear you saying amen out there.
Amen.
See, God will never, listen to me now, God will never guide us against the revealed Word of God and against truth. Never. You say, I want God's guidance in my life. Well, you can mark this down now. If God and when God is guiding, He'll never guide you against what's revealed in this book right here. Never. Never. And I could go on and on with that truth. All right? If it's in this book, if God said do it, then He's not going to guide you or I not to do it. If God said not to do it, then He's not going to guide us to do it. God doesn't contradict His word, brethren. All right? So, did you get that? God never guides us against the revealed word. God never guides us against what is right. You say, well, I don't see anything wrong with slandering people if they're sorry and low down. Well, God never is going to bless slander.
Right.
It's never right to slander people.
Amen.
God never guides us. Listen, God will never guide to contradict what is right. That's number two. Then finally, God will never guide to contradict that which is reasonable. All right? So you say, I want God to guide me. Well, let's see. I want you to check the boxes. Number one, Are you wanting God to guide you? If you are, it's a good thing. Check it. Number two, are you willing to let God guide you? Are you willing? Now, hey, listen, you think about that question. Sometimes God guides through the floods and the fire. Sometimes God guides into the storm. Now, you don't be dismayed. God will be with you through the storm, all right? Just because God's guiding doesn't mean it's going to be clear skies all the way. So you must be willing to abort your program and get with God's program. Do you want Him to guide? Are you willing? Are you willing to wait? Those three things. Have you met the conditions? Have you met the conditions? Are you saved? Are you submissive to God's will? Are you willing to allow God to guide? And then, last of all, know when God is guiding that He never contradicts the revealed Word of God. Never. Never. Number two, He will never guide into that which contradicts what is right. What is right. You say, well, you just don't know. I'm going to disobey my parents. God, listen, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. God will never guide you to disobey your parents in the Lord. Right?
Amen.
So you must understand that. All right? And then finally, that which is reasonable. That which is reasonable. You say, what do you mean, preacher? That which is reasonable. Well, I've had some people throughout my Christian experiences tell me some things that just really shook me. I mean, just shook me. I couldn't believe they were some of the things that it was outlandish. Kind of like, I believe God wants me to run and jump off of that bridge. Really? I'm going to prove that God's protection is on me. I'm going to step out in oncoming traffic. That's not reasonable. There's a word for that, and if I'm not going to use it because you might have your little children. You don't want them to use the word stupid. Oh, just said it. That's unreasonable. We're not to tempt the Lord our God. And so when you are thinking along those lines, you rest for sure God will never guide into the unreasonable. Now, He will sometimes guide in the impossible, and I'm thankful for that, but not the unreasonable, all right? How about you? Is God leading you? Is He? Do you want God's guidance in your life? Here's a great song. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whatever I do, wherever I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own word He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. I pray that God is leading your life. In these times in which we live, we need more than ever to seek God's will, to seek God's guidance. Some folks are making, they are making life-changing decisions about a job, about a family, about finances. I mean, this crisis has brought on some huge decisions to be made. Please let me encourage you. Get in God's Word. Yield to God's Holy Spirit and let the Scriptures and the Spirit guide you, and God will lead and guide you into all truth. I pray this was a help to you. It's been a help to me just to be reminded of the importance of allowing God to guide me every day of my life. Now, if you're watching and you've never been saved in the grace of God, I want to encourage you to trust Jesus as your personal Savior. You must realize you're a sinner and that you are in need of the Savior. Your sin is against God. Against thee and thee only have I sinned, the psalmist said. And if you will repent, if you will turn from your sin, if you will trust Christ as your personal Savior, the Bible says you can be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you'll bow right now and mean it in your heart, God, just pray unto Him and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Come into my heart and save me. I want to live for You in Jesus' name. If you'll pray that and mean it, the Bible says that God will save you. If you get saved, you need to tell people. Tell us. Go to our website or write us, or if you know someone who attends our church, tell us. We want to help you. We'll send you some material to help you grow in your newfound faith. If you don't have a Bible, we'll get you a Bible so you can read the Word of God and begin to allow God through His Word and by His Spirit to lead you. Don't forget about our drive-in services. Sunday, 11 o'clock. We're looking forward to it. It's going to be a grand day. And we're just looking forward to what God has in store for us. We love you, church family. Thank you for those of you that are watching us as visitors. You don't attend the church, but you join us for our live stream. We appreciate you watching. We pray that you pray for our church, and you will pray for our country. Our country needs God in the most desperate way. God bless you. Until the next time, which will be Sunday morning, be safe and let God guide you.